And then, so you went to a county school at 10?
Yes, I went to Miss Edwina House School until I was 10, but I did fall way short of the academic standard at the county school because Miss Hawkes concentrated so much on drama. She'd just get through the basics. She did teach good handwriting, and I was able, well, I was a reader before I even started there, but she didn't do much on the geography, history, the sort of things I would have been learning at the county, because we were always rehearsing for the plays, and I always had rather a major role in these plays, because the school was attached to a big hall, like a church hall, where she would, the major event was her school concerts, which were known sort of throughout Richmond. People would come to these concerts. And when I was only six, she made me stand on the platform to recite a little poem, and she kept moving back and moving back and moving back until she was right at the far end of the hall. And then when I finished my poem, she said, "Moira, I could hear every word distinctly, right back here." So, of course, having this darned carrying voice meant that I was stuck with, I wasn't really a great actress, but I was always stuck with the major lines because everybody could hear me, no problem.
You were a very good actress.
I wasn't always too bad. No. I was, I don't know what that means. I'm beginning to wonder what own undertones are after that, because I haven't done any acting on the stage since I was in the Old Girls Association.
So when you went to the county school, then you finished off your school in there.
Yes.
Stayed on there. And was it sort of much bigger? And
oh, it was, well, bigger, yes. It was, I mean, we used to have 30 in a class instead of only four or five. That was too many. Or maybe it was the 24 or so,
yeah. So it's amazingly low.
Is it?
Well,
it was about 400. Well, this was
a really small class when we had 45.
Oh.
Yeah.
So and we never
baby
had
then,
yeah.
Too big.
It is too big.
Oh, we had,
well, this was...
It didn't seem so at the time because everyone was in the same boat, but now when they... I mean, what, 28 at Ivanhoe?
About, well, there are seven classes of...
The state school they're trying now, the sort of education minister trying to bring it down to 24.
Well, this wasn't any baby boom I was growing up because it was right after World War One, and there were so many unmarried women. So many of the cream of young men had been killed. So that I was not, this was not. So that there were about 400 in the 400 to 500.
Did you feel
school.
That they were men taken?
What, for the men? Well, not for men. It's not her that had
been taken. She got afraid that she might never get married because of all the single women around.
No, that was Maury's age, but at my age, I mean. It was just with another war looming up. I thought the young women would have the same fate. But I certainly, at a very early age, became very aware of the terrible massacre of World War One because of Auntie Doris being married to a paraplegic like Uncle Bertie and living in Fulham, which is one of the rather rough London neighbourhoods, in what was called War Seals Mansions. Mansions, some name for it. But this was a apartment that was specially built for disabled soldiers from World War One. And Uncle Bertie, he had spent 1 week in France and was a paraplegic at the age of 19. And Doris had married him after he was a paraplegic, and they lived in Wolfie's Mansions, and I used to go and stay with them and play with the children there, and I used to feel sort of embarrassed and ashamed of my good luck in having a father who was whole, because all the other children I played with had, oh, their fathers had limbs missing, or they were blind, or they were in wheelchairs, they were just wrecked me. And I used to come back. Oh, I didn't even like to admit to them that, you know, it made me feel so sort of different and overwhelmed.
And your Uncle Laurie,
Well, Vi's brother Laurie, I had known him, but he had died when I was 2½ or 3 as a result of shrapnel had burst and given him these great spinal injuries and punctured a lung. He actually died of pneumonia, but it was a result of. So I was, you know, there was this sort of shadow of war, shadow of World War One.
And did your dad die to World War One?
Ah, well, he was called up in, he had a very fortunate war for him, quite, and not through anything he did. He was called up for the, and he would have gone into the trenches, and he did his, what you call basic training, I suppose, at the Crystal Palace. It was the winter of 1916, and he was, it was a bitterly cold winter, and the Crystal Palace, which was all glass, it was like a giant glass house. Of course, it burned down in the 30s, but it was this thing that Prince Albert Greenchild, that was built in 1851. Well, it was like being billeted, as you can imagine, in a gigantic greenhouse, and outside there were a whole lot of these sculptures, and they were always, my father's memories of that were being called out into early morning fog to do drill, which he hated. He wasn't at all an athletic type. And as the fog lifted, there were these naked statues emerging, which made him feel even colder.
And dripping with dew.
So he did, that's what he did. And then he was sent to Felix, which is on the east coast, prior to being sent out to the trenches. He was by this time engaged to Vi, who was only 18 and he was 28. And he was all set to go into the trenches, and Vi saw him on what he thought was one of his, probably his last spell in England. And then he remarked to a friend of his, wouldn't it be absolutely wonderful to be in a place where there wasn't any war and wasn't any blackout, you know, just sort of imagine it not being wartime. And within a week he was called and given a secret assignment. It was the Royal Naval Volunteer Reserve. And he didn't know where he was going at the time, but then he was one of a group of six who had been singled out to be sent to America, which was sending over planes that were unreliable. And he was sent over to test aircraft.
Before they arrived.
To supervise the building of this aircraft. He knew nothing about planes, and his whole...
This was because he was an architect.
It was because of his architectural training. He would have been able to understand plans for planes with his architectural training. So, without having done any sort of shady business to get out of going to the trenches, he was on his way to America and spent 18 months in around Buffalo area.